Good morning. I want to heartily welcome you all this morning. As you've come to the service this morning, I just say welcome, and if there's any guests in our midst, may you feel at home and welcome to worship with us this morning as we look into our lives and look into the Word of God. My name is Larry Kaler from Austin, Manitoba. I'm glad to be with you and to share from the Word of God with this morning. This morning for opening scripture, I'd just like to open up with a passage we find in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4, and words of wisdom. And it's about staying focused. And I'll read from verses 20 to 27. My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Thus far for my opening scripture words. Let us open with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we just come before you this morning, thanking you for another new day that you have given to us, a day of sunshine and heat, a day where we could have chosen to gather together in this building as brothers and sisters. And I just pray this morning that that your word may penetrate into our hearts and speak to us. I pray this morning that you would empower your servant, empower me to bring forth your word to explain it. And Lord, I just pray that we would all be encouraged, we'd all be strengthened, we'd all be challenged in our lives when we think about our faith in you, our trust in you, putting our life into your hands. And Father, we just thank you again for your Son Jesus that you sent so long ago to pay a price that we should have paid, where he gave his life, the perfect lamb, the perfect atonement for our sins. And so this morning we focus on that. That's where we have our faith in Jesus Christ. And we rebuke our enemy this morning that he would not hinder or bring thoughts to our minds, but that we would be focused this morning on just you, Father. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we'll begin with a few songs this morning.
Take your red hymnal and turn to number 396, I Love to Tell the Story. 396. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings
as nothing else would do. I love to tell a story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new, new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Can we all turn to number 206, In the Rifted Rock I'm Resting? Number 206.
In the rifted rock I'm resting, safely sheltered I abide. There no foes nor storms molest me, while within the cleft I hide. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee. Long pursued by sin and Satan, weary, sad, I long for rest. Then I found this heavenly shelter, opened in my Savior's breast. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee.
Peace which
passeth understanding, joy the world can never give. Now in Jesus I am finding, in his light of love I live. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee. In the rifted rock I'm hiding, till the storms of life are past. All secure in this blessed refuge, heeding not the fiercest blast. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee.
Thank you for those songs. As we open up our message this morning, my message will be on faith and forgiveness and boldness. And when I chose this portion out of Proverbs, and I realized that the Proverbs are sayings of wise sayings of wisdom. And the Proverbs usually give us both the positive and the negative, or we could say the fruit or the consequence. And so in Proverbs 4, verse 20, which I opened up with, he said, and Proverbs always begins like this, it says, "My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." So he's urging us to listen, to come and listen what he has to say. And when we go through we could actually say a good part of the scriptures, many a times it's a call to, if you can hear, listen. Listen to what I have to say. And he's going to give us words of wisdom. And these words really they were given to the Israelites back in Deuteronomy, which we'll look at a little bit later. But he says, "Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart." So these words that he's going to give and has given, and I'm breaking into the middle of a passage here where he's talking about staying on the path of wisdom. And he says, "Let them not depart from thine eyes and keep them in the midst of thine heart." And so when we think about this, the scriptures tell us that out of the heart, the mouth will speak. We sang that first song, it says, I love to tell the story. And as we were singing, I was wondering, how many of us really love to tell the story of Jesus? Do we have a passion and a burden and an excitement when we get to tell the story of Jesus? I mean, are we excited that you know Jesus? And are we excited for what he has done in our lives? And this is what this writer is. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. And here it is, for they are life to those that find them. See, here's the thing that most of us, or a lot of us maybe, we just walk around like we're only half alive. And sometimes I wonder, let's ignite the other half. Let's be fully alive. And when we realize that our hope is Jesus, we need to ignite that fire in us. For they are life to those that find them and health to their flesh. See, I think it's in Luke somewhere, Jesus says, I came to heal the brokenhearted. I came to set the captives free. So sometimes we just think that Jesus just came just to save me from hell or from destruction. But when I'm going to talk about our faith, faith involves more than just one dimension. There's many dimensions to our faith in Christ. And he's listing a few here. Number one, it gives us life. And then it's health to our flesh. And it says, to keep thy heart without diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What we store, so sometimes we think that our heart is only a pump. All it does is pump blood. But our heart very closely connects with our mind, with our body. So there's, just like our faith has more than one dimension, our heart also has more than one dimension. See, if you'd go to the doctor, he said, well, it pumps miles and miles of blood through your arteries. It pumps so many gallons a day, and it keeps you alive. But when we focus on the connection it has to our whole physical body, the connection it has to our mind, there's a way greater dimension to our heart. And if you'll talk to somebody who's had a heart surgery, that person changes somewhat. Their emotions, the way they see things. Our heart, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And many times we store stuff in our heart that's not meant to be stored there. Sometimes it's sin. And many times it's unforgiveness. But he's going to list a few here in verse 24. He says, put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. What is coming out of our mouth? Is it all about me? To make me look good? Is what's coming out of my mouth, is it perverse or just judgmental? And then in verse 25, he says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. And so when we look at this, when we have a mark or a goal, I could say, when we have a goal to do something, we put our mind to it and we focus on that goal. And so if you want to build a house, I'm sure you have some kind of picture or maybe a drawing of how you want to build this. And you work toward that goal because you have a picture of that goal. And so when Jesus Christ is our goal, our faith in Him, we look towards Him. In verse 26, he says, "Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." And so here, these words of wisdom. And I'm going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5, where these words come from. And this is in the beginning when God gave Moses instructions to the people. And we could read the whole chapter, but I'll only read verses 32 to 33. And God is telling the people, "Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand nor to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess." So here we have God telling the people to observe, to do what He hath commanded. But what happens when someone tells us we should do something? What is often the first reaction? "No, I'm not doing that." Why? Why is that our first reaction? Because we are in the flesh, we're fallen from God. And the first, even Adam and Eve, and even Cain says, "No, I will do it my way." And so we have inherited that attitude. And here God is telling, if you will observe and do what I told you and not turn from that, these are the things that will happen to you. He says, you will live. Now, we all like to live. And when he's saying this, they often went out to battle, to fight. And God says, "I'm going to help you fight those battles. And you'll live." And then he says, "And that it may be well with you." Now, all of us would want that, wouldn't we? When we plan something, we always think of, okay, it's all going to go smoothly. And we want it to be well with us. We don't want the hiccups, the setbacks. And then the third one is, "And that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess." In other words, I will give you long life in the land which you will possess. And so when we think of those commands, and God is the creator of all, He has the best plan. Why is it so hard to follow His plan? And the reason is back to the fallen nature that we have. That's why we come here on a regular basis to be fed the Word of God, to be encouraged, to be encouraged to live for Him. If we go to Deuteronomy 28, which is a number of chapters further, in verse 14, he says almost the same thing. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand nor to the left, and go after gods to serve them. And this was the people's problem. They went after other gods, which the other people served, and which was the first commandment that he gave is, thou shalt not have any other gods before thee. So this is one of their problems. They went off and served other gods. And there was quite a number of them. But God said, I don't want you to turn from me. Don't turn away. And so when we think about our faith, and some of you might say, this is Old Testament. But what about our faith? What really is what we believe in? Do we believe what we believe? Do we believe that just from our head? Or do we really believe that from our whole heart? And so when we think about faith, faith in the book of Hebrews, I'll turn to Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 6. And the very first verse says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, which is pretty brief. We believe in God. Why? Because his word tells us what he did. But if I had asked, who has ever seen God? No one has seen God. So where's the evidence that God is where the Bible says that he is? So where is your faith in God that you have not seen? So when we think of evidence, where is God? If we can't see him. And so we may look at, well, he controls all the weather. And so you look at, you've all seen the news. You've seen places where houses are half underwater. And those people say, well, if God loved us, he wouldn't do this to me. So we try and put God in a box to conform him to my situation, which doesn't work. What God wants is to get our attention. Have we turned from him to the right or to the left? Have we taken our focus off the mark of serving him? So we could say that if in the midst of my struggle and trial, if God would just stand right in front of me, yeah, then I'd believe him. Probably not. See, we'd have to go back to the disciples after Jesus was crucified and after he rose from the dead. The disciples had a hard time believing that Jesus would raise from the dead. And one of them, Thomas, said, no, unless I can see him, I won't believe. And what does Jesus do? He shows up for Thomas. He said, Thomas, you can put your hand in my side here. And so my point is our faith is more than just what we think in our head. See, for Thomas it was, Lord, when he's standing in front of him, I believe now. See, and Jesus is going to show up for us. He will show up in the midst of our trials. He will be there when we're on the mountaintops, in the joys and of life. And so we put our faith and trust in Him in all things. And I want to read a few more verses here in Hebrews 11. I'll reread verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And elders, he's talking about those who lived, our forefathers, we could say, generations ago. And he's talking about people that we read about in the Old Testament. By faith they obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. When we look around us, there are things that are around us that were done by God's word. He simply spoke and it came into existence. Many of you may complain today it's too hot and humid outside. What did you say in January? I wish it would warm up. And God is controlling. We have these seasons, and each season has its woes and benefits. See, if we were halfway between January and halfway from now, we'd be right at zero. And your gardens wouldn't grow. Your grass wouldn't be green. And so God has designed our seasons to. And I always think it's a miracle that we can plant a seed 6 weeks ago and we can begin harvest already. Like when my Esther comes in from the garden, she has a bowl of strawberries. And stuff produces in such short amount of time. So when we think about faith, that God, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by God. And in verse 4, he says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So when God said to Cain and Abel, I want you to bring this perfect lamb as your sacrifice, it needs to shed blood. And so Abel did that. He offered to God what he wanted. And Cain says, no, I'll do what I want. I'll bring what I have. And so therefore, Abel obtained, we could say, the righteous sacrifice. By faith, in verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he would not see death and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. See, Abel, there's not much told about him, Enoch. But his testimony was that whatever he did, he pleased God. And so when we think about our faith, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, what were the rewards? In Deuteronomy, it talked about he will give us life. It will be well with you. And you will have a long life in the land where God puts you. So our first step is to really trust him, to put our faith into him, on him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. See, what did God say who he was in the Old Testament? See, God said, tell the people, I am. And the name I am means that he was from the beginning to the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega. And he brings us forth here. We must believe that he is. And I'm going to challenge you this morning. What do you believe about God? Is he in control of everything? Do you believe that he will reward you if you'll diligently seek him? And too many people live today out of obligation. We kind of have a checklist. If I do this and this and this, I should be okay. We had a speaker at our men's breakfast, and he says, at an older age, he denied God all his life. And at an older age, he says, so what does it mean? What do I have to do to be a Christian? And so he went up to Google, and Google gave him a list of 10 things what it is to be a Christian. And so he began to checkmark. Christian does this. Christian does this. He said, and then one day I'm sitting in church. And he says, I didn't hear much of the message, but all of a sudden, the Spirit of Jesus Christ came upon him, and he began to melt and to break down and weep. And he realized that being a follower of Jesus is when he comes into you, his Spirit, and he moves you. And you put your first step towards him and to following him. That's faith. When we choose to make that first step towards Jesus Christ, and we begin to live life out of a love for Jesus, not a checklist that we follow or an obligation, but this desire to be like Christ. So before we continue in our message, as we have custom of doing, we'll kneel in silent prayer. And so I welcome you, if you're able to kneel with me in silent prayer at this time. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Take your blue hymnal and turn to number 258, Who at My Door Is Standing. 258, for those that are able, that sound.
Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear? Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Lonely without he staying, lonely within am I, while I am still delaying, will he not pass me by? Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. All through the dark hours dreary, knocking again is he. Jesus, art thou not weary, waiting so long for me? Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Door of my heart, I hasten, thee will I open wide. Though he rebuke and chasten, he shall with me abide. Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee.
Thank you for praying, and thank you for that song. So as we continue in our topic of faith, I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm looking at the book of Hebrews a lot as I study on my own. Hebrews is filled with much richness, and it connects a lot of our faith, our life, with the Old Testament. Hebrews 12, and starting verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And so this chapter 12 falls on the heels of chapter 11, where in chapter 11 he talks about all the great people of faith and what they did to obtain their report. And like Abraham took his son and laid him on an altar, willing to, went through all the motions to sacrifice his son. And he would have. We could say actually he did. But God stopped him at that knife at the last moment before he was about to slay him. And he says, Abraham, I know you trust me. And so verse 1 here says, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. These are our examples. This is what they did in their life. This is what they did in their faith to God, and it didn't make no sense. Why would Abraham offer his only son, who is the only way that there would be descendants from him? And if he's about to take my son, how can my descendants be like the sand of the sea? See, nothing that God asked Abraham to do made any sense. Except for, I want you to trust me. Have faith. See, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. See, this is our problem. We have sin, which weighs us down. They call strongholds in our life. And they hinder our walk with Christ. And if you think you have no sins, then I ask you to spend some time in prayer. Because we all have. And see, as you walk with God, as you walk with Jesus, and the longer you walk with Jesus, you'll find out there's still things that he's working on you. There's still things in your life that he wants you to set aside because they're hindering you to walk and to run with him. What do you think that Abraham learned from his experience? I think Abraham learned that I need to trust God if it doesn't make sense. I need to trust him and just lay my life before him. And he will take care of me. He will work out the details. And it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is who you and I, need to look at. This Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He completed it. You know what? He did all the work. And you and I, we just need to embrace what he did. See, and if you have trouble embracing what he did, you'll still be working and trying to be good enough for him. And you'll fail miserably. And I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 10. And again, he's talking about Jesus at the end of this chapter in verse 17. He says, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. See, he started the chapter off with the sacrifices of the old covenant. And they were appropriate for that time, but they were a covering for sin. And now when Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice, he says, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. See, what happened in the old covenant is year after year there was sacrifices for sins brought forth. And Jesus says, I will come once and I will take care of sin. Once and for all. See, his blood, his sacrifice was good enough because he was perfect. He was the chosen. So there is no more sacrifice for sin. He was a sacrifice. See, we can't pay for them. Many people try. We can't work them off. But what we need to do is in faith come to Jesus and claim his blood over our sins. He is the only one that can forgive them. And he's made it so easy. And yet it takes a lot to humble ourselves. And then he goes on in this chapter, Hebrews 10, verses 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Are you bold in your faith? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. See, he connects this with the Old Testament where only the high priest could go into that room where now I just forget what it's called, but he had to cleanse himself. He had to wash himself. He had to purify himself. And if anybody would walk into that room, they were instantly dead. And here's what often what they did is they tied a string to his leg. Because if he hadn't done the things in order, he'd be dead and they could drag him out. See, that covenant was done away with when Jesus, and now he says, how are we to come to him? See, if in our faith we have claimed the blood of Christ over our sins, our lives, we can come with boldness, confidence. We can approach him. Verse 20 says, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. A new and living way, which he has consecrated for us. He gave his, the veil was tore down. His flesh was torn so that we can have access. In verse 20, it says, and having an high priest over the house of God. See, Christ is over us, above us. He is over the church today. Because he became the high priest, we can come to him. When the people came to bring their sacrifices, they came to the high priest. And some people still have that idea today. I got to go and see the minister to confess my sins. No, you need to go to Jesus, because I can't take your sins. I can bring you to Jesus, but I can't take your sins. Jesus took them for you. And having a high priest over the house of God, Jesus is our high priest. Verse 22, he says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." He says, let us draw near. Let us approach and come near with a true heart. A heart with full assurance. And he wants to wash, he wants to sprinkle his blood over us. And I think when I read this, I could relate to Peter when Jesus wanted to wash Peter's feet, and Peter said, No, Lord, I'll wash your feet, but you can't wash mine. See, this is the resistance that we have a lot of times. And Jesus told Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you can't be clean. So this was an illustration in the physical, but what he was talking about, it was the spiritual. And when Peter realized that, Lord, don't wash my feet only, but wash all of me. Like, my whole body, cleanse me. And this is an illustration of that. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Isn't that sweet, brothers and sisters? What Jesus has done for us. And we can come before him and just let him do the work. He's already done the work, but let him apply that to us. I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that ye may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. How are we to come? Boldly. Unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Many times we have great need for his grace. And I believe that many times in the midst of our greatest trials, we need to hear from God. We need to hear from Jesus. You know, and we do. And in one of my greatest trials of life, I've had more than one, but in one of them, I needed him to confirm my identity in Christ. And then, some reason, Jesus speaks to me early in the morning, which is like 4 a.m. And Jesus came to me in my as I was even laying in bed. He says, it really doesn't matter what other people think of you. He says, what matters is what I think of you. And he had to bring me back to when he saved me. He says, didn't I do something in your life there? I said, yes, Lord. And he said, it doesn't matter if people will attack you. He says, you're my child. Your identity is me, not them. And he said, go and tell the truth. Go and feed my sheep. See, I was about ready to give up. And Jesus breaks through in life. In those moments. And this is where you and I, in our faith, we just say, yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for showing up. And then he gives us the boldness. The boldness to speak for him. The boldness to tell the story. My friends, today, you have, as much as I do, access to the Father. In Ephesians 2, verse 18, he says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And in Ephesians 3, verse 12, he says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. This is repeated over and over in Paul's letters. We have this opportunity. We have this boldness to access him. And I just want to encourage each one of us today. What does your faith look like? Is your faith somewhat doubtful or wavering? Or are you bold and confident? If you're somewhat doubtful and wavering in your faith, wondering where God is in all of this, maybe you have turned to the left or to the right. And you're looking at all the waves and turmoil beside you. I challenge you to refocus. And just to seek the Lord. And I promise you, you'll find him. He's there. He's waiting for you. And he wants to confirm and to show you that he really loves you. Would you bow with me in closing prayer? Father, we just come before you this morning. You, Lord Jesus, know the heart of each one that is sitting here this morning or listening online. you see our struggles. You even see the sins that so easily draw us away from you. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just come into each heart this morning. And draw us towards you. And we know that the closer we get to you, the more is revealed about how much sin I have. And I pray that then we would cry out to you and just claim your blood over and confess and claim your blood over those sins. That we can be renewed with assurance and boldness and confidence. We don't need to go and find a lamb to sacrifice, but you were that lamb. And we can come at any time. And Lord, I just pray that you would work, that your Spirit would work in each of our hearts. And that we could be conformed to your image, the image of Jesus Christ. And that we would put on the characteristics of Jesus in our lives. And that would mean that we would look at others and want the very best for them. Father, I just thank you for your word this morning, that we could look into your word and draw out encouragement and challenges for our lives. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, before we kneel for prayer, I have a prayer request. Please pray for Nettie Bergen, sister to Helen Dick. The doctors are changing her medications. Today she went into a grand mal seizure. She was taken to the hospital by ambulance this morning. Pray for Melvin and Helen and the rest of the family as well. Please do that. It's difficult moments. And someone seizures like that. Then I also have two applications for membership. The first one is George and Mary Giesbrick from Gortitz, Manitoba. They have applied for membership in the Summerfelt Mennonite Church. They have been visited by Reverend Jake Hyde and Reverend Art Weeb. We recommend their acceptance. If anyone has a valid reason to oppose this request for membership, then please contact your local ministerial. Second application would be for Anita Clausen of Winkler. She has applied for membership in the Summerfeld Mennonite Church. She has been visited by Pastor Art Weeb, who recommends her acceptance. If anyone has a valid reason to oppose this request for membership, please contact your local ministerial. Maybe I'll ask George and Mary and Anita to stand if you. Thank you. And way back there, thank you. This time, let us once again kneel in silent prayer, if you're able to. pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Can we all turn to number 323, Standing on the Promises? Number 323.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises
that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen. Are we standing on the promises of God? Thank you this morning for coming and attending. May the Lord bless you as you seek him. Let us close with a benediction we find in the book of Jude. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. And may God be with you till we meet again.